Our scripture reading today will come from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 16, the verses 1 through 22. You can find the scripture reading on the back of the insert that is in your bulletin. On one side is the outline of the sermon. On the back is the scripture reading. And then there's also a map in there on the second page that will be referred to during the sermon. You can see that on the back of your outlines, I've also included the last verse of Judges 15, Judges 15, verse 20, through Judges 16, verse 22. I'll be reading those verses for the scripture reading today. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines for 20 years. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went in to her. The Gazites were told, "Samson has come here." They surrounded the place and set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying, "Let us wait till the morning light. Then we will kill him." But Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Seduce him and see where his great strength lies, that by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. We will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you." Samson said to her, "If they were to bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried. She bound him with them. Now she had men lying in ambush in an inner chamber. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound." Then he said to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them. Said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber. But he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web, fasten it tight with a pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web. And she made them tight with the pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his deep sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. And she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies." When she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart. And he said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak, be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she went and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up again, for he has told me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. She made him sleep on her knees. She called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. That's the reading of God's word today from the book of Judges, beginning at verse chapter 15, verse 20, through chapter 16, 22. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, today we've come to the most well-known passages in the book of Judges, and what's more, the entire Bible. Samson and Delilah. It's a favorite Bible story of many children, and over the years of church history, there have been poems and songs written about these two. In recent years, a Hollywood movie made it to the theaters. You even hear of Samson and Delilah sometimes mentioned in secular song. And if you're driving down the road at night, you turn on the radio, you can hear a radio show called Coast to Coast with Delilah. And you can request love advice. Never play a love song for you. The point is, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, if you say Samson and Delilah, most people would know something about what takes place in this biblical passage before us today. And yet, as important as it is, we begin today understanding that there are many in the biblical higher criticism world who question whether this chapter even belongs in the Bible. They look at this last verse of the previous chapter and they say, this verse, chapter 16 or 15, verse 20, sounds like the end of what has been said of Samson the judge. That's why I included it in your text this morning. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. And so these liberal higher critics say, this verse sums up Samson's life, it seems. A concluding verse, like we see about other judges in the book of Judges. And so this next chapter, where did it come from? And then these higher liberal critics say, we have a higher knowledge than God in his word. We deny the supernatural works of Christianity. And so they conclude that this chapter seems like an awkward addition to the book of Judges and question whether it even happened. A man, they say, can't pick up the gate of a Philistine city and carry it 40 miles up a hill to Hebron. A man who is so weak he has to have a young man help him walk can't be brought over to two pillars in a mighty palace and temple and then have the strength to pull those pillars down. And so they theorize that this whole chapter, including Samson and Delilah, seems awkward in the Bible. Why would Samson and Delilah, a story like that, be included in the Bible? So they conclude somehow it was inserted later and isn't part of Scripture. Well, how do we as conservative Christians answer a charge like that? Well, for one thing, we know that the Bible is the Word of God. And so because it is the Word of God, we know that it's true. We know that if it's in the Bible, it happened. We also believe that God has given Samson supernatural strength to do those very things. And we also compare Scripture with Scripture. And if you look at your outlines this morning, at the top of those outlines, you can see that what we see taking place in Judges chapter 16 is very similar to what we saw Samson doing in Judges chapter 14. In other words, what's happening in this chapter is not awkward or sort of inserted from elsewhere, but it is more of the same of the judge Samson. What he did in chapter 14, it seems he's doing even more in chapter 16. I put those similarities at the top of your outlines this morning so you could get the picture. In both Judges 14 and 16, Samson sees a woman. 14 verse 1, 16 verse 1. Next, the woman implores Samson to tell a secret on behalf of the Philistines. In chapter 14, it was the answer to a riddle. In chapter 16, it is the secret of his strength. Next, the woman presses him in both passages. You don't love me, Samson, if you don't tell me the answer. Her manipulation to get the answer she wants. And finally, the woman draws out the answer to the riddle. In chapter 14, the answer to the secret to his strength in chapter 16. In other words, when you compare these two passages together and you see that Samson's foolishness in chapter 14 and foolishness that leads to sin is similar to what takes place in chapter 16 in Samson and Delilah, clearly this passage is not something that somebody just found and didn't know what to do with and just stuck it here, and it's awkward. For Samson, this is more of the same of what he has already done in his life. It fits with what's already been revealed to us about Samson. And so instead of being a liberal and saying, where did this passage come from? This is awkward to read this and talk about these things. Chapter 16 to the book of Judges, Samson and Delilah becomes the conclusion of the biblical account of the last judge, Samson, and the people of Israel. What is that conclusion? How does this last verse of chapter 15 then tie in? Let's take that higher critical insight that's an error, but recognize they make a point. And let's now look at our text and seek to understand what more God has to reveal to us in his word. In chapter 15, verse 20, we read, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines for 20 years. And so after getting married to a daughter of the Philistines in chapter 14, and then stirring up trouble between the Philistines and Israel, God enables Samson at the end of chapter 15 to kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey and pile up the bodies, 1,000 bodies on Jawbone Hill. And Samson now has served as judge of Israel, we're told in this last verse of chapter 15, for 20 years during the days of the Philistines. And that could have been the ending, like the liberals point out. But you would hope that Samson would have learned his lesson. He married a Philistine woman. It stirred up all kinds of problems for his life. You would think Samson would have learned his hard lesson and not follow the same pattern of sin again. And yet, as you go on to the next verse, we begin to see how Samson then is a mirror of the people of Israel all throughout the book of Judges. Just as you would hope that Samson would have learned his hard lesson and not go down that same path of sin again, you would hope that the Old Testament people of Israel would have learned their lesson and not go down the same path again. God has sent them in the book of Judges. We've seen it judge after judge after judge to deliver them. And every time God sends them deliverance, God delivers them through supernatural strength. And what do the people do? The judge judges for a number of years. The times seem to be better. And then the people of Israel fall into the same sin again and pursue the false gods of the Canaanites all over again. They have done this like all sinners do when they return to their sin again and again. And so what do we read that Samson does after God's supernatural deliverance? He kills 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone, and after 20 years of serving as judge, instead of staying away from Philistine women, it would have been nothing but trouble for him. After all he has been through, he falls back into the same sin again. Verse 1, Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute and went into her. Now, on your maps, if you take a look at that this morning, you can see where Gaza of the Philistines was located. It's down to the south near the Mediterranean Sea. The Philistine people did not have a capital city, but Gaza was one of the five main Philistine cities. It was maybe their strongest city. They had built up the defenses of this city because, as your map shows, the city of Gaza was located in the south, along the Mediterranean Sea, and for the Philistines, Gaza was the gateway to the kingdom of Egypt. You maybe remember from an earlier sermon when we saw the history of the Philistines. The Philistines came down from the Greece region of the Mediterranean. They wanted to attack Egypt. The Egyptians defeated them, and the Philistines then went to the shores of the land of Canaan instead. The kingdom of Egypt was their enemy, and so they built a city with high stone walls, because if ever their old enemy to the south, the kingdom of Egypt, ever decided to attack the Philistines and try to take over this key trade route that went through Gaza, throughout the land of Canaan, and the world beyond, they made sure Gaza was their strongest defended city. The map shows how far it is. Gaza, this mighty Philistine city, was to the south. And to get there from Israel, how far Samson had to go to get there. He went all the way across the land of the Philistines, about as far as you could go from Israel. And so what does Samson do in the mighty Philistine city of Gaza? He does what he did before. He goes into this mighty Philistine city, and he sees a Philistine prostitute, and he went in to her. Now notice, we're not told her name. This prostitute is not the same as Delilah, who comes later. And so with Samson in the midst of Gaza, what do the citizens of Gaza do? Verse 2, the Gazaites were told, Samson has come here. And they surrounded the place and set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night long, saying, let us wait till the light of morning. Then we will kill him. Now think about this for a moment when it comes to Samson. Samson had previously caught 300 foxes, tied them up two by two, lit a torch on the back of each, burned up their wheat crop, their vineyards, their olive orchards at Timnah. And then Samson went on to strike the Philistines, we're told, hip and thigh, dealing with them a mighty blow. Later, he kills 1,000 of their fighting men with a jawbone of a donkey. And now Samson, after 20 years, walks all the way across the land of the Philistines down to one of their largest, strongest, military stronghold cities, the city of Gaza. He walks into the city and goes to the brothel, unafraid of the Philistines. Samson has done all of those things to the Philistines, and he can walk through their land unafraid that any Philistine can harm him. And so when the Philistines surround the place and wait for him to ambush him in the morning, what does Samson do when he wakes up at midnight? Verse 3, Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and its two posts and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Now, I've read this passage many times in my life, but having studied it in preparation for this sermon, you begin to notice more detail. In verse 3, Samson took hold of the doors. He pulled up the posts that were still in the ground, bar and all. He didn't just use his strength to lift the heavy gate. He pulled it out of the ground, the poles that were buried in the ground, holding the gate. And he put the gates on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Now, biblical archaeologists have been able to dig and find the remains of the gates from that time in biblical history. And they have found that most city gates of the Philistines of that time period were made of wood, coated with either bronze or iron. We know that the Philistines knew how to make iron because the Israelites bought iron from them. These city gates of the city, these archaeologists have dug up, show that these gates were 20 feet tall and often about 14 feet wide. And then not only is it incredible that Samson could pick up the gate all by himself, but he carries the Philistine gate of their mightiest and most powerful city of Gaza 40 miles across the land of the Philistines to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Can you see it on your map how far that is? 40 miles from Gaza all the way to the land of Judah, to Hebron. You can even see the mountainous area that the city of Hebron is located on. The city of Hebron was the highest elevation of all the cities in the land of Judah at that time. And at this time, it had become the most significant city in the tribe of Judah, most likely serving as the capital. Jerusalem wasn't there yet. And Samson carried the gate of the most powerful and the mightiest city of the Philistines on his shoulders all the way up the hill near Hebron. What has Samson shown? Samson has shown to the people of Israel and to the Philistines that the power of God that is at work in him is more powerful than any military might of the Philistines. Their strongest, their most well-fortified city, their powerful military at their key city to protect them from the Egyptians, they cannot contain him. Their city now is left defenseless without its gate. He has supernatural strength that the God of Israel has given him, and now he brings that gate to a key city in the land of Judah, uphill, putting the gate right across from that city. God is showing his people that when the Lord is with him, the Philistines and their false gods cannot stop him. Just like we've seen when the Lord is with his people in the book of Judges, the Canaanites, the enemies of Israel, no matter how powerful they are, they cannot, when the Lord is with his people, contain them. They cannot control them. No one can control the power of God at work in his people. No matter how much the people of Israel in the book of Judges are outgunned, they can have 900 iron chariots and the people of Israel, none. And the Lord defeats their enemy. The Midianites can have 135,000 men to 300 with Gideon, and the Lord defeats their enemy. And God is with them. No enemy can defeat God's people. And the message for the people of Israel is the same message for the people today. No nation of the world is more powerful than the triune God who made heaven and earth. There is no military foe, there is no spiritual foe that can stop the power of God when God is at work to save his people. And no one can stop the deliverer that God has sent. He is all powerful to save his people, and it cannot be stopped. No one, no power can separate God's people from him. But the text doesn't stop there. Because Samson, like the people of Israel, like God's people today, have a weakness. And the Philistines know that weakness because of what he did in the dark when he went to Gaza. Verse 4, after this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Now, there are three things that stand out in this verse. In chapter 14, we're told about Samson's wife. And we pointed out that nowhere does it say in chapter 14 and 15 that Samson loved his wife. We're told he had a wife. We're told he got married. But later he calls her a heifer. His wife goes on to say, "You don't love me. You won't tell me the answer to the riddle." His father-in-law later had to say, "I thought you hated her. I gave her to your companion." And so this is the first time in the book of Judges about Samson that we read that Samson loved a woman. And the second thing that stands out in this verse is where he meets her. Samson meets her in the valley of Sorek. Now, on your maps, you can see where the valley of Sorek was. The map shows that it was in Judah, but the valley of Sorek extended beyond where it says that, and it's worded in the land of Judah. It even extended on to the land of the Philistines. The point is that the valley went along the border of Israel and the Philistines. And why is that important? It's important because then you can see that the text is not telling us here, and it doesn't say, that Delilah was a Philistine. And unlike his wife, who is described as a daughter of the Philistines, and who said, Samson, she said to Samson, the Philistines are my people. This woman is not identified by the fact that she's a Philistine. It's not said in the text. She lives at the border between Israel and Philistia. Who knows where she's from? She's not an Israelite. She's not a Philistine, it seems. But all we're told is her name. And that's the third thing that stands out in this little verse. For the first time in Samson's life in the book of Judges, we are told the name of a woman in his life. In chapter 13, we're told of Samson's mother. We're told his father's name, Manoah, but his mother's name is never mentioned. In chapter 14, we're told of Samson's wife, a daughter of the Philistines, but her name is not mentioned. This time, for the first time in the life of Samson, we are given the woman's name. Her name is Delilah. And the name Delilah can mean different things. If you look it up in a Bible dictionary, you'll see different meanings that could be applied. The most likely meaning in this part of Scripture is the meaning that is of the night. And the reason we come up with that is from verses 2 and 3. In verse 2, the word night is used two times to describe when Samson went to Gaza at night. The same Hebrew word is used two times in chapter 3, or in verse 3, translated in that verse, midnight. Delilah's name likely intended to mean here of the night. Samson's name means, and when he was born, little son, the light, the son of the day. Delilah's name means of the night, and that's exactly where Samson is headed. He is supposed to be the light of God, the light of Israel, the deliverer of Israel, like a little son. But Samson starts dabbling with Delilah of the night. Verse 5, and the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him, to humble him, and we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Notice how these Philistines are described. They're not just the men of the Philistines, like the ones that Samson killed in the previous chapter. Verse 5 tells us that these Philistines are the lords of the Philistines. The Philistines didn't have a capital city. They didn't have a central government with one president or one lord or one king. These were five Philistine cities, and each city had its own lord and king and ruler. And now these five Philistine lords have come together. They know Samson's weakness, and they go to Delilah because they know what happened at Gaza in the night. They know that their military cannot defeat Samson. They can come at him with 1,000 soldiers, and Samson will kill all 1,000 with a jawbone. They try to contain him in their most powerful, mighty city at Gaza. He picks up the gate and carries it to Hebron. They have no weapon. They have no power that can control Samson because the Lord is with him. But they know Samson's weakness. And his weakness is women. Philistine women. And Delilah, whose name means of the night. So they go to Delilah. The middle of verse 5 tells us, seduce him and see where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him, to humble him, and we will give 1,100 pieces of silver. Now notice the wording. They want to bind him and humble him, and they say to her, we will give each one of us, who you, 1,100 pieces of silver. Now you may think, by way of comparison, that a lot of silver was given in Judges chapter 9. There, Abimelech, a half-son of Gideon, went to the people of Shechem, and they gave him 70 pieces of silver to hire worthless fellows to go off and kill the rest of his 70 sons of Gideon. That was 70 pieces. For Samson, each Philistine ward is willing to give her 1,100 pieces of silver. And that's a total of 5,500 pieces of silver for Samson between the five of them, and it shows just how impossible it is for them to stop him. So they have to seduce him through a woman. And the price for the woman that Samson loves is high. And Delilah knows that if she can do this and deceive the deliverer of Israel for pieces of silver, she'll have enough money for the rest of her life. And so Delilah goes to work to find out the secret of Samson's strength. She makes four attempts. Point C on your outline. The first attempt begins in verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you." And you look at that question and you say to yourself, why would Samson even answer that question? Look at it again. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you. Delilah tells Samson why she wants to know the answer. She wants to know the answer so she can bind and subdue him. And you say to yourself, Samson, don't go there. Samson, don't talk to her. Verses 7 to 8, Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Samson seems to be giving a little hint here in the first attempt. The bowstrings were made out of the carcass of a dead animal. As a Nazarite, he was not supposed to touch a dead animal, but it hasn't stopped him before. And this is a game he's been playing with her. He loves a little danger. And I know there are some Bible storybooks that I've read that said Samson went to sleep at each attempt. But notice this does not say here that Samson went to sleep. That comes later when he starts talking about his hair. The way this verse reads, it seems that Samson is letting Delilah tie him up and bind him while he's awake. Verse 9, "Now she had men lying in ambush in the inner chamber, and she said to them, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire." So the secret of his strength was not known. And so why didn't Samson just get out of there? Delilah is saying, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And what does he do? "The Philistines are lying in ambush underneath." It doesn't say they came out. Delilah is waiting, it seems. If the Philistines didn't come out, which I don't think they did, she is waiting until she knows for sure that Samson is truly bound. As Samson, as his first riddle proved, and his arrogance is always like the game of dabbling with danger in the darkness to show off his strength, and he does. He shows off his strength to the woman he loves. And he doesn't get out of there. But he sticks around for Delilah's second attempt. Verse 10, then Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then shall I become weak and be like any other man. Do you see how Samson is playing around with her? Samson knows the Philistines have tried this before. In chapter 15, 3,000 men of Judah tied up Samson with new ropes, handed him over to the Philistines, and the ropes just fell off and he killed 1,000 Philistines. Samson tells her this knowing that new ropes is not going to bind him, but he's playing around with her. And so in verse 12, that Delilah takes the new rope, bound him with them, and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson, and the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber. But they never came out. He snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Notice again, it's Delilah who's doing the binding. And it doesn't tell us that Samson was asleep. Samson seems like he's awake. He's playing a game. He's letting Delilah bind him. He gets to show off his strength. And Delilah has the Philistine men lying in ambush. As you, the reader, are saying to yourself, Samson, danger in the inner chamber below. You are dabbling, Samson, with darkness. Get out of there. Get away from her. She doesn't love you, Samson. But it's like Samson is showing off his strength for the woman he loves. He loves Delilah, we were told. I'll let her tie me up, and I'll break free. In verse 13, the third attempt. Then Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and like any other man. You see how Samson is starting to fall. He brings up his hair. And now he's getting closer to the secret of his strength, and it seems as if Delilah knows that she's getting closer, even though she doesn't have it yet. Because in verse 14, we read that while he slept this time, Delilah took the seven locks of his head and wove them into the web, and she made them tight with the pin and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin and the loom and the web, and there's no mention anymore of the Philistines lying in wait in ambush. This time, while Delilah was working with his hair, Samson went to sleep. A lady who cuts my hair recently told me that she often has someone nod off to sleep during a haircut because there's nerves in the head that will make a person sleepy. She's weaved his hair tight with the pin. She said to Samson, the Philistines are upon you. This time there's no Philistines there because Delilah seems to know that she still does not have the answer to Samson's strength. Verse 15. And she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have not mocked me these three times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies. And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. When she asked, how can you say, I love you, that means Samson must have told her, I love you. And so Delilah says, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me. You've played a game with me for these three times. She presses him hard with her words day after day until his soul is vexed. That means she wore him down. Verse 17, and he told her all his heart and said to her, a razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Verse 17 tells us that Samson now has told her his heart. And you see what Samson knows and what he told her? He knows he was born a Nazarite. He knows he was supposed to be set apart to God. And although he's thrown around the other aspects of his Nazarite vow, he touches dead animals. He piles up dead men. He drinks. His hair was a visible sign of his strength. It's the one part of the Nazarite vow that the angel of the Lord did not say to his mother. It was unique to him. His mother didn't have to do this part. The angel of the Lord said, you shall not shave his head from his birth. This vow was unique to him, a visible sign and identity that set him apart. And although he didn't live it, Samson's answer to Delilah shows that he knows his identity as being in the covenant and set apart by God. In verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up again, for he has told me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came. They came up to her and brought her the money in their hand. Delilah knows that this time Samson has told her his heart. That means he told her something close to the core of his being. Delilah knew it this time. And so she calls the Philistine lords. They bring their 5,500 pieces of silver because Samson has told her the secret of his strength. You see, no matter what Samson movie will sometimes try to show, Delilah does not love Samson. She only does it for the money. Because look what she does next. Verse 19, she made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Do you see? Delilah does not love Samson. She is tormenting him. Verse 20, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. And in that statement, do you see the arrogance in terms of his relationship with the Lord? Samson has taken for granted the presence of the Lord that is with him. Samson thinks he can just go on breaking his Nazarite vows and being set apart at other times like he's done so much before. Shake himself free, and the Lord will come and get him out of danger as before. But look at that last phrase of verse 20. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And there you have it. What was the secret of Samson's strength? Was it his hair? Was his hair the secret of his strength? His hair was the sign of his strength. But the secret to Samson's strength that enabled him to carry the gates of Gaza all the way to Hebron was that the Lord was with him. And now the Lord has left him. And Samson doesn't even know it. And now, Samson is what? He said it 4 times to Delilah, over and over again, each attempt. He's not the man that can pick up the gates of Gaza and carry it to the highest hill in Hebron. Without the Lord, Samson is as weak as any other man. Do you see what has taken place here? Samson took the strength that the Lord had given him for granted. His strength came from the Lord, and he knew it, but he played around with it. He was born a Nazarite and set apart by the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to his mother and father. He played around with it. He lived it in such a way, he didn't care about living set apart. He touched dead animals in violation of his vow. He married a daughter of the Philistines, a sin against God. He partied and drank alcohol in violation of his vow, and yet he still had the Lord's supernatural strength with him. He's so confident in the Lord, in his arrogance, he can go to a Philistine city, walk all the way across the land of the Philistines, go to their most powerful city of Gaza, and sleep with a prostitute in the darkness. And then he goes to Delilah. And though she's telling him over and over again, I want to know the secret of your strength, she's binding him. He's playing around with her. She even acts like she's calling the Philistines. And he keeps playing the game. And in his arrogance, he just stays there, dabbling with danger and darkness because he loves that temporary thrill. Until the last of the signs, the outward signs that he's set apart, his hair is cut off. And then he thinks, well, I could just do as I did before. But the Lord's patience has run out. The Lord has left him. His words to Delilah show that he knew the source of the Lord's strength, but he took it for granted. He took for granted the presence of the Lord with him, and it just frittered it all away. And now he's like just any other man. Do you see how the Samson in our text is a mirror of the people of Israel in the entire book of Judges? The people of Israel were born into God's covenant, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were raised to know the Lord. They knew his supernatural power. They knew how the Lord had brought his people out of Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. They knew how the Lord had supernaturally raised and parted the waters of the Red Sea so his people could pass through, and the waters fell down upon the Egyptian army. The Lord brought them into the land of Canaan, supernaturally bringing down the walls of Jericho. The people of Israel, born into the covenant, named and caused and raised to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be set apart. And yet, time and time again in the book of Judges, they go off and worship Baal. The worship of Baal was a fertility cult. To worship Baal, for Baal to send you the rain, the crops, children for your family, you went off to the temple of Baal and joined with the prostitutes of Baal. Time and time again, the people of Israel cannot stay away from the danger, the thrill of the immorality of the Canaanites, Baal worship, thinking that this was love. They fell for it over and over again. And time again in the book of Judges, we see how God sends a judge. By way of God's supernatural deliverance, he saves them. The people of Israel do good for a while, but they soon take it for granted. And they go back to the prostitutes of Baal all over again. Samson does this at the beginning of the chapter. Israel has done it all through the entire book. And where does Samson end up? Where does Israel end up? Verse 21, and the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. You see, Samson is back at Gaza now, where he started, where he once carried the gate all the way to Hebron in the Lord's strength, where his sight led him to a prostitute. His eyes are gouged out. He can't pick up the gate of the city anymore. They have him grind at the mill in the prison, grinding at the mill, one of the most meaningless jobs that anybody could do. It was the duty of slaves, and in our text, prisoners. And that's what Samson is now being forced to do by the Philistines. He has become their slave. And like Samson, that's where the Israelites are now in the book of Judges. The Philistines rule over them. They even admit it. They hand Samson over because, don't you know, the Philistines rule over us? The Israelites have taken the Lord and his strength for granted. and now they serve the Philistines as slaves. Has the Lord left Samson for good? Has he left Israel for good? Verse 22, but the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. The Philistines in their arrogance and celebration don't notice that his hair has started to come back. Like he's done time and time again for Israel in the book of Judges, selling them into the hands of an enemy and delivering them, God has begun to claim Samson back. And yet, do you see yourself in Samson's arrogance? God has given you a greater salvation than the Old Testament Israel. In the time in which you live, God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to earth. He had a supernatural birth. He was born of a virgin. And he kept the law of God perfectly for you, defeating Satan at the temptation in the wilderness. In three attempts at twisting God's word, Satan couldn't cause him to sin. He didn't dabble in darkness and didn't give in on the fourth attempt, though he had been 40 days in the wilderness without food and his soul was vexed. He was the Passover lamb that died on the cross to pay for your sins. He supernaturally rose from the grave, defeating sin and death on your behalf. You have been baptized into his death and resurrection, set apart, given an outer sign and seal mark that makes you different from non-believers in this world. You are part of that covenant and have been set apart to live your lives for him. And you have in him the power of the Holy Spirit to turn away from darkness. And yet, like Samson and Israel, is there arrogance in your heart? Do you live your lives by sight and powerful urges, taking for granted the salvation and strength that God has given you and doing what you want? In the knowledge of Christ and his death and resurrection power, something you know, but like Samson, instead of making it a calling to be fulfilled, you play around with it, take your relationship with the Lord for granted. Samson and Israel lived their lives by sight. They were moved by powerful urges instead of the Lord and his grace and covenant with them. They both end up, Samson and Israel, slaves to their oppressors. No strength, no sight, no freedom. They are weak like any other man. Are you dabbling with the danger of the darkness? Do you realize that if you continue in your careless arrogance, that you know the Lord will help me out of it. He's with me no matter what I do. The Lord won't leave me. What did Samson find out? Jesus said to his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. And if the Lord is not with you, you will have no strength. You will be like any other man. To be abandoned by God is the worst thing that anybody can know. Turn away from the darkness of sin that you dabble with. Turn to the mighty God, the Lord, the one greater than Samson, your Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for this scripture passage which puts before us your Old Testament people and your Old Testament judge. And Lord, as we look at this passage, we're reminded of the greater than Samson that has come. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has accomplished salvation on our behalf, the salvation power, resurrection power that he has given us in our lives, the knowledge that the Spirit is at work in our hearts and lives, enabling us each day to live for him in Christ Jesus. And yet, Lord, in the world of darkness around us, we see the temptations to dabble where we shouldn't. And though there's danger all around, warning signs, don't go there. temptation is to dabble and go there. Father, we pray that you would enable us to know the salvation work of our Savior, to identify with that salvation power and know that that salvation power at work and given to us is greater than all. And to, Lord, live each day in relationship with you, set apart for you, enabling us, Lord, to know that power each day that we live. And Father, we rejoice in your grace and your forgiveness, because we know, Lord, that we sin and continue to sin. And yet, Lord, when we sin, we can turn to you and know that our sins are washed away. Know that in Christ Jesus, we have been given salvation and eternal life, which is forevermore. And know that wonderful love that you have for us. Father, the world of darkness, as Delilah showed, acts like they love us, but they don't. Lord, may we know that love that has come from you, that love of our Savior, eternal love, draw and tune our heart unto him. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.